and looking at us and going, do you have interdependence with me or do you have codependency? Like, do you just need me to like tell you everything to do? Or do you want to become a son and a daughter? Do you actually want to do this? Because he's looking to fully impart his nature to people, and it makes him proud when we're powerful.
I am Liz Wright. Welcome to Live Your Best Life. The only thing that matters now is living by the power of this wonderful new creation life. We're going to become an undefeatable force of radiating glory, and we are rising up strong now in this hour. Hi, guys. Thank you for tuning in from all around the world to this week's what's going to be really an exceptional episode of Live Your Best Life with me, Liz Wright. And joining me for today's powerful conversation is one of my friends who is also just loved and respected. He's such a safe, seasoned voice that right now, it through his television shows that he's recording, his podcast shows, his books, every bit of communication he's doing that's reaching millions around the globe, he is releasing divine perspective that is releasing hope to us, releasing a lens through which we can see life and come out of oppression and being framed up in how we're living life every day through how the media is speaking to us and what's happening in the world. He really is such an important voice right now. It is, of course, the amazing Sean Bowles. Sean, welcome.
Thanks for having me on, Liz. I always love to be with you.
I do too. I love our conversations. And I know when you were with us in the international mentoring community recently, the message that you brought to us was so life transforming for a lot of our community. It was really relevant, really practical, really relevant. So I wanted to kind of jump off by asking you something that you gifted us with when you were speaking on the IMC was the correct lens to see life through right now. It's like you are able to, through your relationship with Holy Spirit, sit the chaos that many of us are living through at the moment. We're seeing all around us happening in the nations, the pressure and the stress and the chaos, in the context of divine perspective. So can we start there? Will you give us some hope and share with us what you think heaven is doing? What is Jesus doing with us right now?
That's such a great question, because I feel like it's the rock, right? It's the cornerstone question of like, where is our attention? And because where our attention is, that's where our affection goes. You know, set your mind and affections on things above. And so for me, I look at the world and hell's breaking loose in every industry and every government and every sector. There's an onslaught that's not just obvious, but it's blatant. And in the midst of that, we can look at it and go, this is affecting my family now. This is affecting my friendships now. This is affecting, you know, whether it be the sexual identity crisis of the world, or whether it be, you know, politics of progressive liberalism, or whether it be religious sin that is criminal activity that's been rampant in the church that's getting exposed. There's so many things that are scary to Christians to look at right now. But in the midst of that, when we see it, and whenever it's exposed, we have to realize, and it's the same old scripture, arise and shine, for your light has come, for the glory of God is upon you. See, thick darkness covers the earth. And when you see the thick darkness, there should be this place that hopes against hope to go, okay, God, the light is exposing this because you're about to do something. You're about to work. You're working in very clear ways. So whenever anything happens to us and we have, you know, what some people would call just object warfare, just, you know, something happens that's opposite of the nature of God in our lives, we look at it, of course we have Romans 8:20, where we know God will use it for our good, but we look at it and go, you're exposing something so it doesn't become a pattern. You're also exposing something because you probably want to do the opposite, or you want to do something in that same space that the enemy's trying to occupy. So show us what you want to do, so we don't get robbed, so we don't take too much attention on the drama, because the enemy loves to keep us focused on the drama of what the enemy is doing or what man's doing wrong. I mean, that's, if we could stay there and just process our own sin, or process the sin of man, or process the warfare all day long, we will never get to the place of processing who God is and his nature, and ultimately worshiping him and being a part of what he's doing. And for me personally, I've had so many different types of hits over the last 7 years, personal integrity hits where people like were accusing me of things, ministry, you know, hits where people just don't like our ministry or my type of ministry. I've had financial hits because we went into media and a lot of our people that supported us when I was itinerant didn't believe in that, didn't want to go with us in there. Thank God we have the right base now, but we didn't then. It's just so many different types of hits. And I just, during it, I remember just going, God, I'm not good at self-regulating or rebalancing myself on this level. This is too high a level to be able to rebalance myself. And God's like, you don't have to. Just what am I doing? Like, look at what I'm doing. And of course, one of those keys is when you look at what he's doing and you actually allow yourself to be present with gratitude for what's good and for who he is. It takes a while because what he is so much bigger and what he's doing is so much bigger. But sometimes when you're grateful for the friends who are the loyal, beautiful, wonderful friends that you have, it still doesn't feel as the good doesn't feel as big as the bad of the friends who betrayed you or the people who accused you or whatever. So you're like, it's hard because neurologically or maybe in your soul, maybe the pain feels bigger than the goodness until you practice gratitude, until you practice focusing on what God's doing in those relationships, until you practice on what that love is bringing you and sustaining you in life. I think it's like missing secret sauce of Christianity to focus on the good and to focus on what's pure, right, and noble. And when we do that, and that's like, no one will do it for you. No one's going to sit down with you every day, Liz, and say, let's look at all the goodness in your life and let's just celebrate. Only Holy Spirit does that. Your family will tell you all they need from you and what's going wrong. And, they'll tell you their dramas and they need you. Like they need you to be strong. But the Holy Spirit, his job is to relate to what, sorry, my dog. His job is to relate what Jesus is doing in you and to make you so aware of it and so excited about it. And I feel like we're about to enter into a move of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like many people are going to come into that awareness of like, you're not just like God's on the throne no matter what, because that can sometimes sound crass or even like tone deaf to some of the current pain that's in the world around us. But you look at it and go, you have a plan that's bigger than what just got dismantled. You have a purpose, and part of what makes you good is that you've seen the end from the beginning and you've seen every act of injustice, and yet you could still stand there and say, I have a plan that resolves it all through Jesus, and it's already finished. And so there's this place in you that starts to identify with, I don't know a lot. I have so many unknowns right now, but I know him and he knows everything. And I actually have been able to reconcile what I don't know inside of him. So I know it's hard because sometimes you see more people die of cancer than healed of something that, so maybe there's someone in your life you're praying for. So it's like you don't want to live life without them and they died. And then you have another thing that you were hoping God would resolve. And so you feel disconnected because some of the biggest things in your life that you're praying for, hoping for, didn't happen, or your calling didn't happen the way you thought it was going to. And those are the things that make it so they're the challenges. It's in James where it says, perseverance develops character and character develops hope. And when you live in the land of hope, you're never disappointed. And there's something about that perseverance of saying, I'm just going to look for you anyways. Even though my humanity felt betrayed by the fact that you didn't answer the way that I thought you'd come, I'm still going to hope for you anyways. I'm still going to believe in you anyways. And you get to the point where God's led you so far. I know you're this way, that he's led you so far that there's no other way. It's like either you lead me all the way or I'm stuck here because I didn't even choose my career, my friends, my family, whatever it is by myself. I followed you. And so now I'm believing for your glory and your glorious intervention in these things because I have no other way. I can't go backwards. There's no land I've left that I could return to. And so some people might relate to this and understand what I'm saying, but there's something about you engaging hope in the seasons we're waiting. And waiting is never passive. I've said that before to you and to your audience. Waiting is you have to do something in the waiting. You have to actually practice faith.
Oh my gosh, Sean, that was brilliant. I just feel like we've just had a life lesson in how to do life really well in no matter what's going on, just to be able to stay in that stable place of having divine perspective, going back to Jesus for his blueprint, his mind on the matter. What does redemption look like in this situation? And just being, you walk on in life with him, don't you? And you do get to a point where you are so fully reliant on him. He's designed it that way that without him, there is no way forward, And I think the world's kind of getting to that point, isn't it? Where
Absolutely.
man does not have sufficient wisdom to resolve the problems that we're facing now. We absolutely have to have divine intervention. We are carrying the solution. We're to be part of the resolution, aren't we? That's the privilege of the partnership. That's where he's getting us to. It's like, well, we trust him enough to lean into him, to hear him, to get his perspective, to really begin to move. Like you said on the IMC, I thought it was brilliant. You said to move, to revisit the revelation that we've had not to be passive with and to just stay with the understanding of the revelation, but actually to begin to partner, to step in, to begin to be part of the resolution. So will you talk to us about what the Lord's been showing you about that? Because I just think that as well is such a message of hope. We are part of the solution by his design.
Pardon me. Part of the seasons we have ebbs and flows, and some of the flows are so awesome, and some of the ebbs are so hard because the ebbs, sometimes we don't hear from the Lord the way we are hoping or want to. We feel like we've reverted or regressed versus progressed. And I've had enough seasons with the Lord and in ministry both, because I've been in ministry for about 30 years now. And I've had enough seasons with just my relationship with the Lord where I've watched ebbs. I've had seasons like when I first met you that words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of prophecy were like every day, all day long. Then I went through a season of maybe of 2020 where it was real quiet and I was just spending time with God, and intimacy and devotional time was really strong. But as far as external ministry, and I was at the time I had sickness and I was actively having a hard time, but it was different. And I was so content because I had his heart, and I learned the difference of just wanting gifts and things, whatever. But I've had seasons that, I was in a season in 2007, 8, 9, till 2000, even 19, of just revelation again. And then 2019, I felt like God was saying, I want to deploy you for what you've been prophesying about for media and for entertainment. And so things are gonna be different for a while. And so in 2020, we didn't realize we're gonna stop our tour for ministry. And I went straight into media and started to work with TBN and others, but mainly TBN. And they were really pulling out of me, like, you're a social commentator. Let's train you to do this. Let's train you in journalism. And I was shocked because I didn't realize that prophetic voices could be that. And during the time, I went from, like when you're in ministry mode, you're prophesying or doing whatever you do. For me, it was prophecy over groups and people, like all day long, every day, meaning like 3 to 5 divine appointments. It felt like a day or so, which is a lot to steward because there's follow-up work and everything else, to like being really strategic over the last 2 years or so, specifically because I've been working so hard in a new field, having to learn so much, my capacity is different. And so for I say that because we go through these ebbs and flows, and sometimes we look back and we want the gifting from one season, or we want a version of what God did in our lives through relationships or the favor of one season to be applied to what he's calling us to now. And he used that maybe to make something in us, a form of revelation, a form part of himself in us. But it doesn't mean like we don't have guarantees that the types of gifts, whether you're a musician and you lose your hands, and you can't play piano anymore, whether it's, you're maybe it's not that dramatic and it's just you're older now and you can't be on the worship team because you're 55 and you can't even keep up. Like, whatever, like I'm 50, I couldn't be on a 20-year-old worship team. The 20s, it wouldn't work. Like I'm not a worship leader, but you know what I mean? It just would be different. It doesn't mean I can't lead worship. There's plenty of people who are in their 50s who are relevant, but it's just different. Like if I'm going to be trying to do the dream I had when I was 20. And so we have to allow God to recreate the dreams and the gifts and everything in the season we're in. And if he's not speaking loudly and clearly, we have to actually go back to what he's told us throughout life and start to form a map out of it, and also to form a place of trust for however much time we have left, whether it's 25 more years, 50 more years, 2 more years, whatever it is. We have to form trust and commitment and connection to what he's already done. And sometimes when we're not in the season of activity, we forget how easy it is for God to move and just bring us to the place we need to be or the thing we need to do so quickly. Like God could bring us exactly where we need to be tomorrow. And even if it feels like it would take years to get established, but sometimes God puts us in these seasons. They're not all wildernesses, but they're in seasons of quiet so that things form in us that don't form when we're not in seasons of quiet. Or maybe it's quiet in the industry we want to be in, or maybe it's quiet in the relationships we want to be in. I know single people right now who are like, God, where's my spouse? And God's being really quiet. And I think in those times and places, we have a responsibility not just to be passive and just go, well, God will deliver me. He'll do it. If he wants it, he'll do it. But to actually go to a place of faith and say, God, in this space, I want to be as activated as I can to partner with you, because nothing happens because I waited in a passive way and just maybe God will just do it. Things happen because I connect to you and because I connect to your heart and because I look at what you've told me and I believe in what you've built in me and I believe in what you've promised me. And so like coming out of that passivity, which is such a thief, and coming into an activation in your heart to go, I have a responsibility here to investigate or explore. And kind of like Habakkuk, I got to stand in awe of words that have happened for other generations and other people as if they're mine. And I have to call out to God in my lifetime, do the things you promised. And
Yeah.
it's not because God needs me to, he doesn't need me to fight for it in the sense of like, it won't happen if I don't fight because it's all about my aggression. He needs me to come into the state of reliance and connection to him that it takes for him to manifest the character and the design to happen. And again, none of it happens passively. So I watch my kids, and there's a lot that doesn't happen if I don't ask them to do it. But then there's the best stuff that happens is after I've imparted my nature to them and they just do it. Like Harper being hospitable the other night with our guests that came over, and she's like giving them all water and connecting to them all and making sure that they feel like they're loved with the food that we've got them. And she's 11 and she's like a queen of the house all of a sudden. And that's because her mom and part of that nature turns, we didn't have to ask her to do any of it. I'm looking at it going, that's my daughter. But you know, if I had to ask her to even just get him water and all those kinds of things, if she was being passive and what I've poured into her and what Sheree's poured into her, that's not how God created us to be. He created us to be a fully formed version that makes powerful decisions whether he speaks to us or not, because his nature's in us. And that's where I think the church is about to come of age and graduate, where we're not just looking for a prophetic word to lead us and guide us, but we're looking for that nature. We've got to know you. We've been on the journey with you. We know how to make powerful decisions because you're with us. We understand, we know your word.
Yeah, that's absolutely superb, Sean. Absolutely superb. You can see it, can't you? And you can see that. I think that's such a brilliant illustration with you using Harper. It shows us exactly where we're at in the process with him to becoming mature, to revealing divine nature, to being authentic. That's something else that you were talking about, where we genuinely have come to a place where we really are safe. We really are exhibiting the nature of Christ. The world can come to us, and his presence through us is creating that safety, is touching them with kindness, is touching them with goodness, is, you know, these were the things that you were saying when you were speaking in the IMC, and it really, really impacted me. This great move of the spirit that everybody's feeling in their spirit all around the world. And you're seeing the grassroots of it. It's like, it's authenticity, isn't it? It's the divine nature in us. Like you said, Harper looks like she's, you and Cherie have imparted the beauty of the nature that you both are. And your daughter looks like you. And now she's the queen of the house and she's
Well, and she was sharing like
living authentically. Sorry,
one of her
go
friends, she
ahead.
was sharing with one of her friends, like they were going through a hard time and she was sharing her heart with them. And I was in the other room listening, of course, eavesdropping on 2 11-year-olds. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's so wise.
Yeah.
Like that was so good. She was so like the people skills, the emotional intelligence that she was displaying. And I knew she was checking in with the Holy Spirit. Like, what should I say, God? And I went, that's my daughter. And I feel like that's the place where God's looking for us to be. Like, he's on the other side, you know, of the wall and looking at us and going, do you have interdependence with me or do you have codependency? Like, do you
Wow.
just need me to like tell you everything to do? Or do you want to become a son and a daughter? Do you actually want to do this? Because he's looking to fully impart his nature to people, and it makes him proud when we're powerful. And you look at like AI, or
Wow.
you look at politics, or you look at immigration issues in different nations, and they're looking, there's so much chaos in it that people are going to get saved because a son of God or daughter of God manifests God's truth, which just brings alignment and peace in the chaos. And you see, like, that, you know, there was the plastic Texas size pollution out in the ocean. That it's, I mean, it's the size of Texas, the pollution of water bottles and plastics and stuff, mostly from like Asian and Indian countries. No offense, I'm just saying like where it's from. And the environmentalists and the World Health Organizations and stuff were saying it's going to take 100 years or more to fix, and it's all going to sink to the bottom. It's going to cause some poisoning and all this stuff. And there's a group out of California that just prayed and they asked God. They were in college and they asked God for an invention as part of their college thesis. Give us something that would change that. And they've created a whole vacuum cleaner thing that goes out in the ocean. They got the grants to do it and they did the whole thing and they cleaned it all up in 1 year. No, it
Oh my.
repopulates really fast, but they have a system and they're getting better and better. And what would have taken 100 years of a year. So people ask them all the time, how did you do that? And they're like, we just weren't okay with them saying it was going to take 100 years. And we know that God would give us an invention to help clean the oceans because he cares about the ocean. Excuse me. He cares about the ocean. He cares about it more than I do. And it was just one of those moments where on TV in the scientific community, in the environmentalism world and politics, you have Christians who solved the problem, who made God look as awesome as he is. And they just knew, like they just knew it would come if they just asked for it. And I look at that and I'm thinking, that's what I'm seeing and hearing about. Like when you start to look for him, you start to see him everywhere. You just start to see what he's doing everywhere. It's like, just like if you look for negativity, you'll find it everywhere. But if you look for God, I mean, there's a psychological principle behind that. If you look for God, you start to, there's a pattern, that recognition in your spirit that happens. And you're like, you are so crazy how you're in everything. You're in everything.
And I mean, when you're speaking, Sean, I can actually feel a shift happening. I can feel it in me, and I'm sure you guys can feel it. This recognition of the fact that we are powerful, that we carry the nature of our Father, that through our relationship with Him, we're not supposed to be passive, where we've received revelation in the past and we've sat on it and we've grown in the understanding of it, but we've not known how to move forward, to participate in the relationship without being told to now turn right, turn left, turn, you know what I mean? That the Lord's leading is step by step in the detail. And some seasons he does. But right now he's saying, in the life journey has led us to this point, hasn't it? Where we're no longer needing to be passive, but we can be powerful. We can step up. We are here on planet Earth to be part of the solution for the issues, like that group of, you know, people did, where they went and saw the problem and they prayed and they trusted in who he is in them and the nature and our identity as kingdom people here to be able to participate in this incredible adventure called life. And I think as we awaken to this reality, we're going to start to see a tipping point happen in the world. There's the potential of that, where we take our position and we stop waiting for God to direct our next step. But we realize He's already there, right? He's saying, come on, guys, you're my children, you're my image, you have my nature. There's a lot to do, you know, and to not be sitting in overwhelm, allowing ourselves to sit in that, you know, sometimes understandable state of overwhelm, but actually take our position and begin to run with him in the nations, fully trusting and being that safe place, hey, where we are authentic, we are connected to our authentic nature and our life now and our relationship with him. It's just amazing. So I can actually feel it while
I
you're
love that.
speaking. I can feel us activating, coming higher.
I love that.
Super powerful.
Well, I'll say one more thing, which is
Yes,
I
yes,
think
yes.
MIA, who's a very pretty famous pop star, has been canceled quite a few times.
Yeah.
Mia, she has a song called Paper Planes. It's her most famous, I think. But she's a Hindu, practicing Hindu, and she had a spiritual encounter that made her a Hindu because her name was a Hindu name that means free speech. It was a goddess of freedom of speech. So she was, I mean, consistently canceled off of things like Saturday Night Live and other things because of statements that she made that were really broad and big. And what was profound about her is she recently became born again because she had a vision of Jesus. And she couldn't, she it was before and after. She just couldn't deny that Jesus was God because of the vision. And she accepted him and starts to study the scriptures. And she said, she made this statement. She was talking to Tim Pool, which is a famous kind of conservative commentator on like YouTube and Rumble and stuff, but he has a huge, bigger following than CNN. And he's just a one guy thing, you know, like he has now as a company and stuff. But he wanted to interview her because he's like, I need to hear about this encounter with Jesus because you've been canceled now because of the encounter, because people want you to write songs that aren't what they don't want you to be a good girl. They don't want Mia the good girl. And she was laughing and she said, you know, one thing she says, the gospel is all about free speech, which I think is really profound. And so she said, I was named prophetically, even though it was the false God. It's like, well, now that I'm a Christian, this is what one of my platforms I stand on is free speech. It's like 100%, 1,000% agree with. But then she said, you know, I look back at my Hindu friends and my friends who are in all these different religions, and it's just so chaotic. I could never turn back because the thing that Christianity has offered me over and over is peace. And on my journey, when I finally found Jesus, I've had a peace that is beyond what I could understand. And that's what I was looking for. And she goes, that's ultimately what the world's looking for. And she was speaking on a secular platform to a man who's not a Christian. Tim Pool's not a Christian. He's interested in Christianity, but he's not a Christian. And some of the other guys on his team have recently become Christians and baptized. And so they were sharing their experiences with God too. And it was a better revival podcast than anything we could do in the church. It was just so profound. But I looked at it and I thought, just in her statement that said, I could never turn back to Hinduism because Hinduism is so chaotic with all the gods and all the things. And you look at all the other religions that are out there and they're so chaotic and what they demand of you is so strong. And I look back at our kind, generous Jesus, you know, who gave his life for us so that we didn't have to have chaos. And so we didn't have to have, the world's always at war, but in the midst of war, we can still step out of it and have connection to our family and our wives and our husbands and our, you know, and just be, and like in the midst of that, still have great divine purpose, but it doesn't define us. He defines us. And I look at it and just go, man, I'm so wrecked with the goodness of God. I still have the battles, and we've had some really strong battles, like I said, but it's not hard to reground anymore. It's not hard to get rebalanced or reset because he's so good. Like the more you go into scripture, and you know this, it's like the more you reset and you rebalance so quickly. It's like the people who read the Bible every day, you just rebalance this much faster. When you have a relationship to the Holy Spirit and a biblical conviction, it's just so different.
It is. It is. And you do the word, like you were saying, you're regrounding back into his presence through principles of things like thankfulness,
Yeah.
gratitude, right? Meditating on the goodness of God. I mean, I do
It's
that
like all
with
the
the
Sunday school themes, right?
right. But when you actually step into them, you realize this is the way into living the abundant life. This really does reset us back. It protects our connection with his presence. It enables us to stay in tune and in step with his heart and remembering who we are, you know, living, like you said, powerfully. And, you know, you know this story, but when I first came into the kingdom through the physical visitation from Jesus, the thing that it was his love that blasted through me, and his peace was the gift that he gave me. So I came out of that experience whole. And the first thing he said to me was, "Always come and rest. Always come and rest with me a while."
So awesome.
And I'm still learning how to do that. But
Yeah.
it's living according to his ways, isn't it? And just like you said, just being able to live in peace in the midst of chaos, even just doing that is a huge testimony to the reality of God, who's within us by his spirit now, who changes everything, changes the atmosphere around us, touches people as we just simply offer them water, like your beautiful daughter did, you know, just
Yeah.
offer people in the simplicity of the moment kindness, love. They feel the change, don't they? Because his presence, it's the atmosphere of God that they're coming into. Oh, honestly, Sean, I could talk to you for hours. It's just thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for prioritizing your relationship with him and going with him into this different expression of your life in him that's so needed. It's so different, isn't it? It's not classical prophetic ministry, but it's very, very powerful because it's kingdom living and it's bringing his perspective, which we really, really need right now. So thank you for all that you do.
I so appreciate it. I appreciate your audience because they're on that journey of it's
Yeah,
halfway between the
yeah,
mystical. I want an
yeah,
encounter with Jesus, but
yeah.
also I have to see him change my life and the world through me. And I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what you're living is absolutely where we're at. It's what's happening now. And the move of God is Christ authentically revealed through us, which is going to change everything. So, through our relationship with Him, as you said, as we show up powerfully. Sean, thank you. You're
Thank you.
amazing. We
Love
love
being here.
you. Guys, thank you for giving us your precious time too. And we pray you have the most amazing week, enjoying Jesus and living powerfully. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless.
2 years ago, Jesus spoke to me and he said if I would create a space for him, he would come. And what he has done in the last 2 years is absolutely incredible. He birthed what is now known as the International Mentoring Community. Every week, myself, along with other international guest speakers, come on live and they pour in God's love and revelation. There is an activation anointing on my life. And so every single week, as we come together at the feet of Jesus, I have an environment in which I can impart this anointing onto you. He never, ever misses a week with us. He wants to take you into deeper experiences with him than you thought was even possible. So I want to personally invite you now to come and join us and sit at his feet with us.